Hey y'all.
Hey y'all.
Welcome to God's Girls.
I'm Alexa.
And I'm Avelyn.
And in today's episode, we decided to talk to our youth pastor, Mr. John Dollar, and he has a lot of great things to say. If you like our podcast and want to join in the fun, follow us and comment. Listen to us on any of the main podcast apps.
The website for our podcast will be linked in today's episode description. Follow us on Instagram at God's Girls Podcast and on the Bible app at God's Girls.
Email us at godsgirls.podcast@gmail.com.
Remember to share this podcast with your friends and help grow God's kingdom.
Now, let's jump into our second episode of season 4. So we're going to jump in with some questions. The first one we have for you is, what is your favorite Bible verse or go-to Bible verse you always tell others?
That's a really tough question, actually, because I guess the main thing that I would say is like John 3:16. Do y'all get that all the time?
No.
No. Okay. Because God loved the whole world. Mm-hmm. And it gave us body. I know it's the one that you see plastered all over the place. I know it's the one that Tim Tebow had on his eye black one time, but that's it. I say that because I have so many of them, but I think that one kind of rises above the rest. Mm-hmm. I love the Bible. I'm a little bit addicted to it. I think it has the words of life. It changes me all the time when I open it up, and I know it has you guys and changes people when you come in contact with it. So it's just full of goodness. And I love it when you ask young people to like find a Bible verse that connects with them, because they come up with stuff that they would, and then they're moved by it and blessed by it. I'm like, wow, God is cool like that. Mm-hmm. Just so diverse and so deep. I mean, there's stuff in there that's going to change people's lives. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, that's the one. God loved the world that he gave his only son. I have 3 sons. I would love to have daughters. I would want my daughters to be like you too, if I had daughters, but to give up your child, what? You know, I mean, that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Isn't it? Free in the world right there. And the best, most hopeful thing I've ever heard in my life. That's why I do what I do. And that's why I'm committed to doing the things that I do, because it's the most important thing on earth.
Yeah, I feel like that verse gets underestimated because everyone uses it, but it's actually, everyone uses it because it's so good, and that gets overlooked.
Oh, well, I feel like the Bible is a good thing to be addicted to, not something bad. Okay, what is one goal you want to accomplish in your lifetime, and do you feel that this goal is one God has put on your heart, or one that you just like really want to do?
And this question is based on Colossians 3:23 and Galatians 1:24.
To see the young people that God's blessed me to be around, my own kids and people in the youth groups that I work for, to see them find their hope in God and trust him completely and see how it affects their life. It's one of the great joys of my life. And also my great hope is to see people dedicated to him, to buy into this lifestyle that we've challenged them to reach for and to put first in their life. And to see that happen, that's the very best thing, the biggest goal of life. Because I hope to grow really old one day and to hear people call me and say, wow, I loved when we did this. I'm like, yeah, cool. Get it. And I love God. I'm still active in church. To see you guys take over the leadership of the church, man, that's where it's at. I'm sure you've heard this before. Like, one of the best things you could do is train people up to take your job and to do what you do. If you work for a church, that's really what you want to do. You want to see people rise up and do God's work, just like you guys are doing right now. You want to see that. That gives you joy. That's what it's all about. You've never heard that before?
No, I've never heard that.
Yeah. train people to take your job.
Do you feel like that goal has changed over time? Like you found yourself striving to reach different goals when you were younger?
Well, you said earlier something that it's God's given you. I feel like God gave me that. And he gave me that not as a really young person, like you were young, but he gave it to me as a college student, and been pretty consistent through the years. I know that there have been times when I wanted to do something different. So my personal goals were a little bit different, but God always called me back. And the callings were, they were always so clear and strong that I couldn't deny it was from God. And I knew that I needed to do what God wanted me to do. So it's been a little different. There was some inner city ministry work for a while. There was some college age ministry, some young adult ministry. There's been ministry to different age groups and different people, different types, more ministries that are more service oriented, people that were felt more hopeless and were hurting. And then there was some where just about the students, middle school and high school, which I really dig that ministry. So it's been fun. Not many people get to do it as long as I've done it. Seems like, I mean, I don't know that I'll ever get out of that one. It's the one that God calls me to. So it's morphed. I guess if you want me to, I could talk a little bit about how the one time I thought I was going to get out of it, I really thought I was going to get out of ministry. And I really wanted to get out of it at the time. A little bit of burnout, maybe. A little bit of frustration with my own level of adequacy. But he called me back sudden-like. And y'all heard the story about my voice. So, you know, that was part of God's answer to my prayer. It was very clear that God wanted me to do this ministry more than anything else.
Mm-hmm. Well, have you ever felt fear to do something that God has called you to do, and that's affected the path that you've taken in your life?
Yes, it's really that story that I was alluding to. I, at this one point in my life, I got an opportunity to do something different. My undergraduate degree was in theater, and I love to perform. I have ADHD. I've got lots of problems in my mind. But when I get up on stage, I can think clearly. Like, I felt like I could perform to a high level and still have a conversation in my head about what I'm doing and what the audience is thinking about. And I never had that kind of clarity before. Maybe on the ball field, there's something about like an adrenaline rush. For people like me, that they think clearly and everything slows down for them. But when there's nothing going around, my mind just kind of wanders around a lot. But when I was on stage, I felt that clarity. So theater was like something that I'm like, whoa, I'm made for this. And people told me, you were made for this. This is what you do better than other things. I don't do many things well, but to perform in front of people was something that I could do well. I knew I could do it well. And I was proud of being able to do it. But God called me to do ministry instead. So that was when I was in college. I got a theater degree and I started ministry school right after. And there's a little bit of fear involved in that. I didn't feel like I was adequate. I had lived life, made so many choices when I was a young person, and I was going to ministry school with people that seemed like they had it all together. They had the Bible figured out. I hadn't cracked open a Bible in a long time at that point. I mean, until I became a Christian, and it was such a short time after I became a Christian that I went to ministry school. I just felt like I wasn't ready, but I jumped into it and God really blessed me through it. We had some very productive years, some really healthy, big churches that I got to work for around some elderships and leaderships that were awesome and blessed me. And I got to use my gifts and people didn't beat me up about all my weaknesses. It was awesome. I had a great run. Met Kathleen in a campus ministry setting, and we got married, and life, it was beautiful. But there was this point after I had my three boys, we were living in Atlanta, Georgia, that I met somebody. It was kind of like a mentor. His name was George. He worked for a much bigger church than I was at, Peachtree City Christian, really effective church. And And one of my members connected me with him as a, like a mentor guy, because I didn't have that at the church I was working for, Southern Crescent, south of Atlanta. And he challenged me because he knew that I could perform, and he knew that some people wanted me to perform, like to act in movies and stuff. I met this guy with Actors, Models, and Talent for Christ that wanted to put me in a movie. And George found out about it, and he's like, you should do that. Quit doing ministry and go out and do ministry in Hollywood. Because if you do that, you'll affect way more people than you will in that small church that you work for. And at first, I'm like, George, you can't say this. You're a minister talking to a minister. You should challenge me to continue to do my ministry. But I thought about it, and I'm like, oh, man, I was so excited about the opportunity. And I got a, I got an opportunity to work on a couple different movies. I got a main role in three different ones in a short period of time. And I thought, for sure, this is, I'm going to get to go do something that just really makes me happy, brings me tons of joy. And they were all Christian movies. So the ministry, and I gave myself an out. I'm like, okay, this is for God too. Let's do this. And Kathleen and I prayed about it, and we asked for a sign. Don't ask for a sign from God. Faithfully ask for a sign from God unless you're ready to get one. Mm-hmm. Not always easy. So I get sick this December, like the sickest I'd ever been in my life. I was in bed, cold sweats. I'd heard people say cold sweats before, but I'd never experienced them. But I would be sweating, and then I'd be freezing cold, and I'd be burning hot. I was really sick for a few days. I should have went to the doctor, but we lived cheaply back then. I didn't even have health insurance, I don't think, at the time. And I didn't go to the doctor. But I lost my voice. I started getting a little bit better, and then kicked the fever. But I lost my voice, and I didn't know what was happening. And we thought that that was a sign from God. I mean, who can perform with a bad voice? I recently had surgery, so it's just a tad bit better, but it's still messed up, right? You can tell that it's a little bit messed up. I've actually the messed up voice my whole life, so you didn't know when I had a good voice. Yeah. So we thought that that was a sign. It's also the same month that this guy named Brian comes out to Atlanta and visits me, and I pick him up from the airport, and he's like, man, I just turned down this job from this church that you would really love, because I was kind of known in the church in Dallas among my co-workers, Brian and Terry, is like a little bit of a socialist Christian. They met me because they're like, you want to give away everything. You feel like everybody should use their money, spread it out thin, bless everybody, the whole community. I always wanted to give free breakfast out. I want to do lots of stuff for free. You know, I always wanted to like help the sick, and if they're homeless, let's build them homes. They were like, yeah, John, you're crazy. How are you going to build them home? I'm like, we could provide. Everybody's got plenty of clothing in their closet. They can start giving out. Nobody should go without clothing. Nobody should go out without food. People throw away food all the time, right? Yeah. Young socialist Christian, they thought. They messed with me. But Brian said, you would love that church so much. They have a free clinic there. They give out free clothing to people all the time. They feed the homeless like almost every day. I mean, they do stuff like that. They have a foster care agency there. And I'm like, man, that church sounds amazing. So why don't you turn it down? He's like, I don't know. I just didn't want to leave DFW area. He was working in Dallas at the time. And he said, you should call him. And then he says the name of the church. And I'm like, Brian, dude, you not even know me? That's the very church that paid my way to go to ministry school. I'm from North Louisiana. I know that eldership. They're awesome. And could you imagine the emotions that went through my mind? I'm asking God for a sign. I lose my voice, and it's really bad. And so I get my sign from God. I mean, we were clear. We knew that that's what it was. And then he tells me this. And of course, Ben and I talk on the phone, and he's like, we'd love to bring you in. And I said, I'm under contract to do this one movie for sure. The other two hadn't signed anything. And so they brought me in. We talked to people. They were the nicest. Y'all's parents were there. Alexa, you know, I knew your dad from ministry school years ago. He so we see
about that.
Yeah, see him in the foyer. I mean, it's like, okay, I could be a little selfish here and get my kids back around their grandparents, come back to North Louisiana, and work for a church that cares about people way more than other people. You know, I don't know the churches. I'm just saying they care about people way more than other churches normally do, right? And actually follow God's will. So I filmed that one movie. We ended filming in March, and April 1st, I started my first day at Airline. So, but was there fear there? Yes, there was fear. Fear all around. Mm-hmm. Because I thought that was probably going to be my last chance to do what I thought I was made to do when I was young. And I didn't do it. But then to fear, I fear God more than I fear anything else. I mean, that's what we're all here for. It's a surrender to God's will. Noah did a little devotional for the men's retreat today. And he said something about it. He said, is it worth living 70, 80, or 90 years? I don't have the words exactly right. Doing what you want, or should you do what God wants and live forever? And he probably got that from listening to me, or maybe God just told him what to say, or he got that from the Bible. But obviously, doing what God wants me to do with my lifetime here is so worth it, no matter what. I mean, the sacrifice is negligible. It's not a sacrifice. The blessings far outweigh it. Life is so good. Nothing I could never regret it. I mean, if I hadn't come here and met the people that I know from here, my life wouldn't be what God wanted it to be. He knows what's best. So yeah, fear God, do what he wants you to do. Make sacrifices. If he'll call you to it, man, do it. You'll never regret it. God is so good. He's got a great plan. Not always easy. In fact, he likes to give us hard challenges, I think. It's so worth it. So good. And you're doing it too, right? We're in the middle of a Saturday afternoon, and you guys are doing this for the glory of God. I love it. You're champions.
Thank you. I think that's really cool. I didn't realize you had to go through all of that to figure out what exactly God wanted you to do. Because I was meeting with someone a few weeks ago, and I was asking them, like, how did you know what God wanted you to do in life? And especially after hearing your answer, I'm starting to realize even more that you don't exactly know the path as much as you think you do. Like, you think you know it all, but then God throws a curveball and it all changes, but it all falls into place if you listen to his voice. And that's incredible, because I've always wondered, like, how do you know what you're supposed to do in life? I see my parents sometimes, like a few years ago, my dad was changing occupations. He was trying to create his own counseling business instead of work for someone else. I'm like, he still is changing what he's doing in life at his age. And so I was just wondering, well, if he's still changing what God is having him to do, then how am I supposed to know what I'm supposed to do in a few years when I go to college? But I guess you just listen to God then. You don't know. Is that basically what you're saying through all of this?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's not linear. It's not like he puts you on this path and you guys are going to interview people until he brings you to heaven, right? Exactly like this. It may be. I'm not saying it doesn't have to. I mean, that it's not going to be that way. But I am saying, just listen to God. He's going to guide you. I mean, he guides you till the day that you go to be with him. And sometimes it's different. Sometimes he switches stuff up on you. And sometimes he pulls you back to what he called you to in the first place. But you just got to trust God and walk with him closely. Because, yeah, there'll be changes. I was so proud of your dad for making changes. He's willing to make changes. He's brave like that. Some people kind of fear change. We should fear God. Do what he wants. Make any change that he wants you to make. Don't be afraid of that. That's for sure. Some people don't seem like they have gotten a true calling. And I don't really know what to say to them. I would think that God would give everybody a calling. Like God would tell you what to do. And I think it becomes easier to do what he tells you to do as you just do it. Like you do it one time, you do it in a really big way. And then the next time you do it again, and then you do it again, and eventually it just becomes automatic that you hear his voice and you do what he wants. That's what I would hope for you guys throughout your life, for all the students. Let's tell them next time we get back together, like just surrender and listen. That's the real life.
Do you feel like you've heard God's voice through more hardship than through the like smooth sailing years?
That's a good one. Maybe not more often, but maybe more clearly. There have been hardships. You know, I had some rough years. I mentioned to you guys before about the years of addiction when I was young. You know, I didn't care anything about God. I felt like I was, sometimes I hear God's voice for me now as I reflect on myself when I was a kid, because I didn't get to go through youth ministry the way you guys get to. So I think about my lack of God in my life when I was your age, and I feel sorry for that kid. I feel like it would have been better and easier for him. That sounds crazy, but I didn't have the influence, and I didn't have the opportunity, and I wasn't listening to. It's probably just a stubborn heart, because I did go to church some, but I didn't care about God, and I did what I wanted. And what I wanted was to be lustful, to try every kind of addictive thing that I see adults doing sometimes. I just wanted to have fun, and I went down this very destructive path. I feel like I was protected, but there was a lot of heartache, a lot of pain, a lot of wrecked vehicles, some nights in jail, a lot of problems, a lot of hurt, hurt a lot of people, hurt my family. I went through a lot as a young person, and I think about it now and how I wouldn't want anybody to live through that again. So I think that's part of why Kathleen and I, as much as parents are willing and kids need it, are willing to act like a surrogate parent if we need to. I mean, we've had times where we've had kids live with us when they needed it or whatever, because, man, they're worth it. Their life is so good and beautiful and valuable. And you want them to be sheltered enough so that they can hear God's voice and they're not constantly bombarded by other things that distract them from it.
Well, I have a piggyback question on you saying back when you just wanted to kind of give away free stuff, like you just wanted to do that for the poor and for those who needed it. So it made me think of Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, where it says, "For his sake, I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ." Have you never really found your value in stuff? Because I know that I have just wanted to keep certain things, found sentimental value in them. And I was wondering if you've never really had too much of that problem, if you're one of those people that's just like, things are just things. They have no sentimental value whatsoever.
Wow, really good question. No, I think some things I value sentimentally. I have a Bible that my mom gave me when she had cancer and she was going in for surgery. And I was going to have to go stay with my dad. My parents were divorced when I was little. I didn't spend a lot of time with my dad, but I had to go stay with him. And she bought me this Bible and told me to read it. And this was when I was young. And I did. I read some of Genesis. I read about half of it. I even highlighted some of it because I was staying in my dad's office and he had highlighters and pens and stuff in there. So that was like the first time I did. So, yeah, things like that, I cherish those. My grandmother passed away just recently, and I got one of her Bibles and it's written up in, and I cherish that. There's something sentimental. I like to look at old pictures. I've still got an old laptop that has pictures on it from years ago. I crank it back up and look at old pictures and things like that. So I'm sentimental, but yes, it is true that I've got plenty of problems in my life, but materialism is not really one of them. You know, I drive old beaters, beat up cars, whatever. I don't really care about stuff too much. And it bothers me when I feel like my family or other people that I know and I love like their stuff a whole lot, try to hold on to it like it's important. I'm a little sensitive to that. I think, but one of the things is, it wasn't just because I'm not too proud of myself anyway, so why would I be proud of the things that I have, right? I don't think it's just that. I think one thing is I had an opportunity to travel in third world countries a good bit, Honduras and Nicaragua, Dominican Republic, and I see how much joy some people can have with so little, and I want that because I feel like sometimes our joy comes in getting things that we like. And I believe that there's a real danger in liking things so much that you forget about what really matters. I feel like the things that matter in the world are God and people. That's really what matters. There's not other stuff that should matter too much. Don't worry about your stuff, keeping it perfect, whatever, protecting it, insuring it, doing whatever you got to do. Don't worry about all that. Worry about the people in your life. They're what is going to be eternal. And I think we have an influence over people, either to drive them away from God, maybe materialism or other things, or get them closer to God. So spend whatever time you got to get close to God, and don't worry about all the other stuff. Let's say don't even worry about your career. Don't even worry about your health. I feel like we pray a lot of times for things that, wow, we really care about those a lot. Like, those things don't matter as much as the people around us. Time we get to spend with people, that's what's valuable in their lives, how to bless them and help them. So you take the gospel and you're like, it should be all people. So why is it that somebody that doesn't have anything now shouldn't have something in it? And if I have it, I should give it to them and help them with it. I learned that from other people. I didn't come up with that on my own. And I really appreciate the people who live that way well. Like, I don't need this stuff. Hey, give it away. Maybe we could sell it and use the money for the poor. Doesn't that sound biblical? Exactly what God would want to do. Yes. Don't worry about stuff. Worry about God and people. That's it. All right. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
That was an abrupt ending.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Good. Alexa, Evelyn, thank you for doing what you do, for being you. Thank you for the joy that you have and for sharing it with other people. It's beautiful.
Thank you for being on it. Thank you for being a part of it and encouraging us through all of this.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you all for listening to our podcast and supporting us. We hope you've been brought closer to Jesus through this episode.
Subscribe to this podcast and leave a review so know what you think.
Follow us on Instagram at God's Girls Podcast and on the Bible app at God's Girls.
If you have any prayer requests or questions for us, go to our website and tap it into our Contact Us tab. Email us at godsgirls.podcast@gmail.com or DM us on Instagram.
Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next Sunday with a new episode.